The Dogs of Desire is the Albany Symphony Orchestra's groundbreaking 18-member chamber ensemble. The ensemble performs all new music from some of America's most creative up-and-coming living composers.
Since 1994, the Dogs have commissioned well over, I think Joe said this before, 100 new works from
almost
emerging,
200 we learned, yes.
From emerging American composers, 200 of them, can you imagine? Gaining a national reputation among young...
And every one is a masterpiece.
And every one is expensive. Gaining a national reputation among young composers as a proving ground for emerging talent.
The group provides a unique medium for vocalists and a wide variety of amplified instruments to create a contemporary and energetic melding of orchestral chamber music, combining the power and punch of a rock band with the precision and clarity of a chamber ensemble.
And as part of the festival, Dogs of Desire will perform here at MPAC, that's E-M-P-A-C, at 7:30 on Friday night.
Indeed, and joining us to discuss the Dogs, we welcome trumpeter Eric Berlin, oboist Karen Hosmer, am I right? Is that again?
Hosmer.
I'm sorry, you just told me that. And also, composer Robert Patterson is here, and as is the conductor and the founder of this organization and this wonderful artistic endeavor, David Allen Miller. Thank you very much for all being here.
Delighted.
Great to be here.
Before we talk to the Dogs and the composer, let me ask a question, David, that's really been on my mind for a long time, and that is, where did the name come from?
Oh, yeah. Joe, I'm so glad you asked.
Thank you.
Because people often are puzzled by it. And in fact, older people often say to me, why does it have that terrible name? But in fact, what happened was when I wanted to start this group, as I was telling you earlier, when I was still living in Los Angeles.
In the garage,
my little garage band, classical garage band of the future. I made lists and lists of sort of clever names for a new music ensemble, Norchestra, and things like that. And I just went through a bunch of names, and it happens that David Lang, who's a very famous living young hip American composer, not so young anymore, but Pulitzer Prize winner, he had a rock band when he was an undergraduate at Stanford called the Dogs of Desire. So he lent me the name. He let me have the
you
name.
You stole it!
I stole it from him, and I showed this list to my mother, and that was the name she hated the most. And I thought, that must be the name. If my mother hates it, because I was trying to create a group that had absolutely no classical connotations, sort of a total mold-breaking kind of thing, and that's why it stuck. So it's because my mother hated it.
That is a great story. Thank you for putting that
story
into my ear.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Let us talk, before we talk to the composer and we bring this down to finally get us to the point of the concert on Friday night, introduce us, David, and then we will talk to them individually, of two of the members. What do you look for in a dog when you are bringing them on board to be a part of this
put another way, they have to be neutered.
That's an interesting question. When I look for a dog, I'm actually looking for the composers. I look for dogs composers. The musicians are our principal players in the Albany Symphony.
That's part of the contract.
Most superstar members. So we've got our superstar principal trumpet and our superstar principal oboe here of many years standing. They'll tell you how long they've been in the orchestra, and they're both founding members of the Dogs. And so the Dogs is made up of all of our most incredible principal first chair players. But when you ask that question about what makes up a dog, I can tell you that whenever a composer sends me a packet of a score or a CD or whatever, I listen to them, and either I put them on the I put them on the not too interested in this composer pile, which I hope never to put composers on, or I put them on the, you know, interesting for orchestral music pile, or if they have a sort of, you know, some kind of connection to rock or to jazz or to pop or to fabulous, you know, rhythmic energy, I put them on the Dogs pile. And I really think of certain composers as being Dogs composers, not to the exclusion of being classical composers.
No.
For example, Ted Hearn, whose piece is being premiered on the Saturday subscription concert, is one of our best Dogs composers. He wrote a great piece for the Dogs a couple of years ago. So one can be both, but one has to really be a dog composer for us to want them to write something for the Dogs.
I want to talk to your principals for just one moment, because it's always seemed to me that trumpet players have a big advantage, right? You have a Bach 7C mouthpiece, and you don't have to worry about that afterwards. But your oboist and your bassoonists, those people have to make their own reeds. And I've often wondered how long it takes you now to make a reed.
Well, If I can put in about 8 hours a week, I'm in really good shape on reeds.
Really? No. That's not true, is it? That's an exaggeration? No.
No, that's not an exaggeration.
You have to work on making those reeds with you use a razor blade?
There are special knives that look a lot like, you know, old shaving knives. But yeah, and the reality is what I start with looks like bamboo. It looks like tubes of bamboo, and you go through a bunch of stages, and ultimately it's vegetable matter, so, you know, 10% of what I make maybe I really want to play on or want the public to hear me on. So there's a lot of throwing away of cane.
Isn't there anybody who could do this for you? I've often wondered about that.
Yeah, there is, and, you know, students will often buy their reeds, but it's sort of the difference between Twinkies and a Linzer Tort.
But people buy clarinet reeds, don't they?
They do, and some people work on them to make them better. Some people do make their own.
Yeah.
But the reality is still, if you buy a box of 25 reeds, a professional musician is going to expect to play on two or three of those and not use the rest of them because they're not good enough.
And you wet them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they work best when they're wet.
All right. So far.
Isn't this a good question?
We have 2 hours and 20 minutes left in the show, but so far, Twinkies versus Linzer Tort is my favorite comment of the show. That's great. As David mentioned, both of you are founding members of Dogs of Desire. Or, you know, what was the word you used? You were there from the beginning.
Founding members.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Not sure from the very beginning.
You weren't from the very beginning?
No, not from the very beginning.
No. Oh, was that
it's
wrong?
It's been 15
I
years
was.
For me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you just...
You kids ought to talk more.
I've forgotten all the trumpet players who preceded you.
Then I've done my job.
So, disappeared.
So real quick, and then we want to talk to our composer here. So at what are you allowed to do differently? Why do you enjoy it as an artist of being able to do something new that has never been done before in most cases, and as David mentioned, is in a different pile.
Well, I have to say that I want to say thank you to David for being such an eloquent voice for music of our day, and I think that it's great
for
our
nobody
audience.
Nobody has anything bad to say.
Thank you, son.
No, it's great for our audiences here in Albany to be so receptive. It's a wonderful thing. But for all of us, I think in Dogs and in the Albany Symphony, it's wonderful to know that what we're doing right now is going to have lasting value. the dead composers that we all love and you know, but everybody does that. But we're unique in that we get to, you know, kind of vet these new voices that may turn out to be the Beethovens of the future. And I love the fact that we get to experience different artists in their well, in this format in Dogs, we get a very wide range of composers. Some that will work mostly in a rock vein. Some will really take a chamber orchestra approach, and we get to see a lot of different approaches to this ensemble. And some of them end up showing us something that we want to commission for the larger orchestra. So, like Evan Haas's wonderful chamber opera that he did, you know, ended up in being a trumpet concerto, and, you know, Ted Hearn's Dirty has ended up being in the new piece here. So I just think it's great that we're touching the future.
Do you get extra money for doing this?
I don't know if there's any extra in the Albany Symphony.
Nobody gets extra.
I don't think we can call
there,
anything.
Is there extra money?
I don't think that that there's any
it's all
extra
part of
anything.
The contract.
Dr.
Right?
Shartok, did you find some extra money?
Extra. I'm trying to relate that with money.
And I don't mean
to
cause trouble, but if there were extra money, it's going to go to the composer to find new pieces instead of the orchestra.
Yeah,
right?
our musicians all get paid. None of them gets paid particularly well. They all get paid the union rate for every time they play. So we all get paid, but we don't get paid extra.
If it weren't in the Dogs and they were just in the orchestra, they would get
but
less
the dogs
money,
are
right?
Part of,
yes,
yeah.
They get
no,
extra.
No, 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 no. No, I don't
technically
think
they
so.
Get paid more.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay.
Karen, you want to weigh in on this?
Well, I think one of the fun things is just that there isn't a performance practice for these pieces. You know, when you have to play a Brahms symphony, there are so many recordings that of great players, and you listen to all those and you try to think about, you know, what can I do? What am I allowed to do? And, you know, I may have one idea. David may have another idea, and we have to find some way to meet. But with this stuff, you know, we're creating the performance practice. And, you know, as an oboist, it is kind of weird because there are times when I have to be a lot more aggressive than I normally would be in a lot of orchestra pieces. And then all of a sudden it'll be like they want Sweet Little Classical Oboe. So finding that balance, but it is kind of fun to just be able to do something where we get to make it up for the first time.
8 hours a week making reads? That's incredible.
Well, when my reads aren't that good, you know I haven't put in the 8 hours because I don't get in the eight hours
Alan,
every week.
You have to understand, we can't shave our own reads. Ours change every day depending on the weather.
You mean the trumpet players?
Your lips. Our lips are the reeds, and we don't have the option of. I'm kind of stuck with what I wake up.
Yeah. What happens if you wake
Aren't
up?
Aren't we all?
What happens if you wake up with a cold sore?
It hurts.
It's bad.
But you play anyway, right?
Play anyway. Yeah. We had a wonderful, many 12 years ago with three cold sores inside my mouth for Harbison's Third Symphony. We had to record it.
And you remember the piece.
That's
great. Yeah. Let us not forget we have composer Robert Patterson
here.
And I'm amused because I was as I was Googling you over the weekend to find out more information about you. Every time I put in your name, it would come up.
Don't you mean
Robert Pattinson?
Yes.
Well,
it could be worse.
Absolutely. I mean Robert Patterson 1T.
I've gotten more crestfallen looks from women who thought they were going to meet him. Like, oh, Robert. Oh.
It happened
Darn,
every no. time I Googled your name this weekend.
Right.
So, who came to who first? You knew that there was an open call and you submitted a piece, or did they come
there
to
There is no open call. What are you talking about?
Well, you accept stuff, right?
I let people can mail me stuff, sure.
Well, sure. That's what I mean.
Is that an open call?
But
when we invite composers to write for The Dog's Desire, it's anything but open. It's
okay,
a real
so you
honor.
Invited him.
Well, I must say that Chris, I knew about Rob for many years because many of my composer friends have mentioned him to me, and
I was in the no pile up until recently.
He was not in the no pile. He was in the must figure out where to put him pile.
I just don't
and
know.
And it turns out that Chris Rouse is a former teacher of yours,
yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Chris mentioned that you had had a piece that had fallen through and you had some time. And I really wanted to, since Chris is kind of this big feature on the festival, a lot of the other composers on the festival have been students of his, have worked with him, current students of his. He mentioned Rob. And I said, oh, well, let's have Rob do a piece. And so I had these wonderful Mellon commissions, these collaborative commissions. And so I asked Rob if he could identify someone he wanted to collaborate with from another art form and do a piece. So I'm delighted to finally get to have him write a piece for us.
Well, what happens if you get it and it stinks?
I play it, and then I put it on the shelf.
Okay.
It doesn't stink. His piece is wonderful. It's beautiful. And actually, I must say that...
The trumpet player and the oboist are giving each other... Did he really have to ask that question?
But, what I think is, with any piece you get, you have to commit to it because you don't know right away whether you're going to love it, and you'd have to get to know it.
Gotcha.
And what we are talking about, the piece is Ghost Theater, is that correct?
Yes.
And how would you characterize it? How would you explain it to our audience?
The piece was inspired by, I have the requirement of this commission was I had to work with a filmmaker. So I chose, believe it or not, this guy's my brother-in-law, but he's a filmmaker in Vermont. His name's Jay Craven. And originally, actually, I wanted him to do something light, like kind of a narrated ghost piece where the two singers would narrate. But he comes back and says, hey, do you mind if we do something really serious? And, about like soldiers and death and the Second War. I'm like, really? But you don't understand. I don't know if David's going to go for this. Oh, no, and it's got to be with singers. How am I going to do this? Okay, let's figure it out. And so he made this film that was really dark. But the irony is he mixed all these like light things that he worked with this other woman, another director, and she put in this stuff that was ghosts all over the stage. So the editing process from beginning to end was unbelievable. It went from being kind of like this weird Greenwich Village hodgepodge thing to something that's really dark and tight. And so anyway, it went from being, light to serious. And
Could you explain, David, what this collaborative, because I think we've sort of missed that part of it, what the collaborative element of these requirements are?
Well, the wonderful thing about it is that Mellon, we have this annual gift from Mellon that we're now in the fourth year of.
Mm-hmm.
We have two more years.
Very ripe.
It's basically
12 or 15, I think.
Well, we hope it's many years,
yes.
But we're guaranteed another 2 years. And as part of this chunk of money, this amount of money, we're given two $10,000 chunks to have a collaboration between a composer and another genre artist, an artist from another genre, for The Dog's Desire.
So besides film, what would some of the other...
Well, in previous years, we had this one guy who worked with robotic instruments. These what were they called?
They do operations.
iBots. They were these fabulous... They
Lemur.
A,
League of Musical Robots.
Yeah, but they were basically robots.
Oh, they came
musical
on the
robots.
Show. Yeah,
yeah, Eric Singer
in.
Has
That's
these
right.
incredible...
Yeah.
And it's like a guitar robot, and they played with the dogs with this guy. And another time we had a whole group of African musicians come in and play with us. And so it's been very... We have very cool...
Now, do you show the film when you play?
Oh, we are
piece.
Showing... In fact, yes. both of the collaborations this year happen to be films, so both films are fantastic. And so this is a work for music and film.
So when you come to the concert, you're going to see...
I just have to tell you, if you've never seen The Dog's Desire, you owe it to yourself to see it. It is a multimedia, it's just an incredible entertainment, and it's really fun. I mean, I always put a couple of really wacky pieces. We've got a piece of David Malamud's, who's one of our sort of favorite house composers, that's just giddy and fabulous about the Folies Bergère, which ends the concert. And Rob's piece is brilliant, and Amanda Harburg's piece is tremendous. There's a new piece.
Brilliant,
of
wacky,
It's freewheeling. It's just fantastic. I'm telling you, it's what your listeners love. It's just really creative modern art.
All right, so here's your homework. You go online, and you go to albanysymphony.com, and you find out about this wonderful concert that is part of this festival. It's Friday night at 7:30, and you can find out more information. And it's wacky and commanding and serious and all of those
all
things.
At once.
All at once.
It's MPAC, everything. It's the everything concert.
7:30 Friday night. Go to albanysymphony.com. Part of this wonderful festival at the ASO. Eric, Karen, Robert, David, I want to thank you all so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful time here at the American Music Festival, and it's a delight to have you all with us.
Thank you
so much for being here.
You're listening to The Roundtables, a live broadcast from MPAC and WAMC.